This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, we are very excited because on Friday, we will be launching our Christmas series. Now, as OG listeners will recall, we launched our first season of A Very Outspoken Christmas last year, which we absolutely loved doing. So we had a lot of guests on talking about their Christmas tradition and what they're getting up to for Christmas. So this year we will be dropping our second series. However, it's going to be a little bit different as we do want to freshen things up. So we're really excited to share those episodes with you next week.
We've also got a bit of a secret Christmas project in the works that we need your help with. We will be posting some information about it in our Facebook community. So make sure you're joined. And we'd also love to get your feedback on it too.
I'm so excited at the moment. My Christmas tree is up and it just feels so magical to see it when I'm sitting down watching TV. And I have to say, I'm pretty confident because every year we have a Christmas tree competition. And last year, I have to say, I creamed you guys.
You did. I mean, it helps when you've got like $1,000 tree, but Kate and I have got the real Christmas trees and mine looked the worst. And it was because I left the plastic bag on the tree, like on the stump. So it wasn't able to get any water. So this year I'm going to check that the stump has no plastic around it.
Well, because I'm not having to go out and buy a new Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree, I have invested in some extra decorations and I'm going for the very traditional red, gold and green Christmas colors this year. So
hope for red, white and green.
Well, sorry, there is white in there as well, but I feel like people will like it too.
Well, I'm excited because I'm finally moved into my new house because we did last year move in just before Christmas, but I had to really rush to put things up and I didn't really have furniture to put all my decorations on. So I'm very excited to get that started. But I think, Amy, you and I are probably going to start decorating, I'd say, early December because if we wait for our real trees.
Well, I've taken all my Halloween stuff down. So I'm actually thinking I'm going to put my Christmas village up this week. So I might need your help. And I'm also thinking of relocating it. So I think I will make a reel to show everybody what it's looking like because I'm also on the hunt for some more Lemax villages as well.
Well, when you say Christmas village, you basically have this amazing Ferris wheel that's lit up and you've also got little houses, you've got a fire station. I'm really jealous of it because I love those Christmas traditions that you just invest in. So every year you're going to buy a new little piece for your village.
I know, I need a new piece. I did see this Christmas scene and it was in Venice, but it didn't have that many decorations. Like it wasn't too Christmassy. It was just pretty.
Well, Elle Darby is one influencer who I think loves Christmas just as much as we do. And last weekend, she shared her Christmas decoration video with us. And she always puts her Christmas decorations up on the 1st of November, which it does seem pretty early, but I feel like with the last couple of years we've had, I feel like it's socially acceptable to be putting yours up earlier and earlier. And she actually enlisted the help of a professional designer who does a lot of her parties. And she, along with a lighting company, decorated the front yard of her house. And it looked incredible because she's got one of those beautiful porch. And what they did was they put a big garland out, like sort of a pine garland around that with gold lights. And she also had a big gold star at the top. Yeah, an arch. And the doors were flanked either side by gold light up reindeers. And they also had mini live Christmas trees in pots with fake snow. And I think it was that perfect classy Christmas display that was cute enough as well.
It did look really classy. I loved how Con was saying he was getting his inspo from Home Alone, the house in Home Alone, because I love that house. I also love the Lampoon's Christmas Vacation house, but that's a little less classy because there's more Christmas lights.
See, as I feel like as we've matured, we've gone from growing up with the very garish, colourful display.
More lights, the better kind of attitude. Yeah.
And now I'm into the more tasteful gold, you know, signature pieces.
Yeah. But I think gold and color can work really well together. It just depends how you do it. I do really want to invest in a nice garland with lights on it to run across my TV cabinet because Elle and Con have the most beautiful one. And when they showed their Christmas decorations in their lounge room, God, it looked cozy. It made me almost wish that it was the cold weather at Christmas time in Australia. I mean, at the moment it's bloody cold, so who knows? We may have a wet Christmas.
Oh, I want to know where you actually get those garlands from, because I never see them anywhere. So if anyone in our community knows, I am willing to invest.
Where? I know. Balsam Hill do them.
Oh, yeah,
they
but
do
I,
everything oh. like that.
Yeah, but I don't have a spare $3,000 to buy
it's
the garland.
It's not $3,000. The tree is $1,000 at the most, and the garland is probably $50 or something.
Oh, $50? No, well, I think it's around that sort of price.
Nah, I reckon they're a couple of $100. But Amy, you and Elle Darby, I think, could trade secrets on your Limax villagers, because she also has the tradition of collecting one each year. And she was joking around how she's, you know, by the time she's in her 60s, she's going to have so many of them that she's going to force her son Saint to take some to his house. But she's like, let's be honest, he probably wouldn't care about them.
Okay, so the most exciting part of the whole day has finally arrived. We're about to do the tree.
A woman's video on TikTok has gone viral after she shared an offensive text message that caused her to cancel a date. Now, the worst part of this whole incident is the message was accidentally sent to her. So in the TikTok video that has been viewed over 4.6 million times, Molly Hare posted a screenshot of the conversation. Now, apparently her male date had been waiting for her to arrive for their first meetup when he texted his friend, "Waiting on this C-U-N-T. I took a pinch for confidence." Now, this guy must have had that stomach-dropping, heart-pumping moment when he realized he'd actually sent the message to his date. Now, the guy realized what he had done instantly and profusely apologized and tried to persuade Molly to change her mind. However, it seemed like it had provided a big enough red flag for Molly, and she called it quits before they even met. And it sounds like she made the right decision.
What does it mean, I took a pinch for confidence?
He did a pose.
Oh.
He pinched one off. Oh. Is that See, what it means?
I thought it was a drug reference. I'm not sure. I didn't want to be uncool enough to say that.
No,
I didn't know
it's
what
the poo.
Meant.
I've heard Brandon say, "I've pinched one off."
Oh my God, that's even worse.
That is so. See, I don't know what's more unforgivable: him calling her a C-U-N-T or saying that he went and did a nervous poo.
Remember, we had a friend.
I think the C-U-N-T thing.
Remember, one of our friends, she got a text message from this guy that she liked. And they were meant to be going out for sushi as friends. And he texted her saying, "Oh, sorry, I can't come because I'm doing a poo." I feel like any mention of fecal matter, it's like that guy's not into
Well, that was clearly a blow-off text, because if you'd rather go and do a poo than go and get sushi with a girl, I think that's saying a lot.
This has actually happened to me where I've sent a text to the wrong person recently. I was actually on the phone to Kate and we were talking about how ridiculous it is that all of our boyfriends think that our Christmas decorations take up so much room in the shed, and when in fact it's actually all their shit that takes up the room. Anyway, so I took photos of the shed and then I sent them to Kate, but I accidentally sent them to Dale. So, and then he wrote back, "I've got the message loud and clear because the shed looked really, really messy." And I was like, oh, fuck, how do I explain that?
God, there was no way of getting out of
that. No, I just had to be honest. I was like, oh, I was actually talking about your stuff in the shed.
I managed to avoid a situation like this, and I feel like I've got to share it because I wasn't even aware that you could do this. So I was talking about someone that I'm friends with on Instagram, and I was showing their page, and somehow I accidentally flicked in to message them. And unbeknownst to me, I must have touched the microphone button and was talking about them. And if you actually release your finger from the microphone button, it sends the conversation immediately.
Like as a voice note.
Luckily.
Yeah, that does that on text message too.
Luckily, I looked down and I realized what I was doing and managed somehow to exit out from it, because that could have been game-changing. It was not good.
Actually, that reminds me. I remember I was in a group chat with you guys and Mum, and somehow I managed to snap this, the most hideous photo of myself. I don't know how. It just took a photo of me, and I was like, no makeup, pajamas.
Well, it wouldn't matter too much to us.
No, but it didn't. But I was thinking, imagine if I sent that to anybody else, I would have been mortified.
Well, that whole microphone thing brought up a memory I'd tried to bury in my mind when I was having to communicate back and forth with the 36ers players around their media appearances. And there was one player who actually used to play in the NBA who was quite well known. And I had to message him, and he'd been a bit of a, I was going to say sleazebag via message. And I accidentally sent him a screen recording of me swearing. Like, I don't even know what I said. I couldn't even listen
I've never
back
heard
to
this.
It.
Oh, I do remember this.
And he just used it as a hook to keep this like flirty banter up. And I was like, for fuck's sake.
What were you saying in it?
I can't remember. I think I swore and he's like, oh, I didn't expect you to use language like that. Or, I don't know. It was just horrible.
That's so embarrassing.
I'm about to head out to lunch with Kaylin. She's here. She's just getting changed in the front bedroom right now. And we're about to leave. It kind of is a little bit overcast today. We're going to Toddy's. Lol. We're going to Toddy's for lunch today. This is our first time back to Toddy's since lockdown.
In a Q&A on Wednesday, Tammy Hember appeared to confirm she has sole custody of her two children, Wolf and Saskia. The revelation comes 4 months after the father of Tammy's kids, Reese Hawkins, moved to the US to live with his wife, London, and their baby, Stone.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Tammy and Reese were together for 5 years before splitting in 2018. And a few months later, he began dating London. And it's so awkward because she was a bit of a fangirl of Tammy and Reese's. And she used to write really awkward comments on their photos.
So, Sophie, what did Tammy say in the Q&A?
Well, Tammy was asked by a follower if she looks after Wolf and Saskia full-time, to which she simply replied, yep. She also went on to comment on how she manages to look after them on her own. In addition to help from her mum, she said, my kids are quite a good age and actually really well behaved. I'll bring Sass to a lot of my meetings when Wolf is at school, as she only goes a couple of days a week.
The great thing is, it seems like Tammy has help from her long-term partner, Matt Paul, as well. And she praised him on Father's Day in September for what she said was stepping up for the sake of her children. So in the Instagram post, she shared a photo of Matt hugging her two kids and wrote, you may not be their father by blood, but the bond you have with my babies is something else. Thank you for stepping up and being such an amazing role model and support in their lives. We love you. And Tammy also revealed in her Q&A that she wants more children, writing, I do. I want all the babies, all in good time.
I feel really sorry for Saskia and Wolf because it would be really hard knowing that their father has chosen to live in a different country to them with his other child.
Yeah, I do feel really sorry for them how this is all playing out, because it would be hard for Tammy not to comment on it. And yeah, she has given very little information, but unfortunately, in considering she's got such a high profile, even commenting on it does make it into something bigger. And I really enjoy watching Saskia and Wolf on Tammy's channel. They are so adorable. That little Wolf is going to be a heartbreaker. And her daughter is so cute and hilarious. I saw Tammy take her into her office and just the cute little toys that she was showing all the workers and stuff. I mean, they don't seem to be affected by it at all at the moment. But when they grow up, it's going to be hard to see these sorts of articles circulating online.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my channel. Now, I am joined with, I don't know what I was going to say.
Your boyfriend?
UK YouTuber Saffron Barker says there's no bad blood after splitting with her boyfriend of a year, Tyler Dixon. Sophie, can you give us a rundown of Saffron and Tyler's relationship history?
Well, they actually met on Instagram during lockdown last year, and it's pretty funny because Tyler is a twin and Saffron's best friend, Anastasia Kingsnorth, spotted his brother Jordan on Tinder and ended up swiping right. So Saffron thought, oh, I quite like a look of those twins too. I'm going to look up the brother. So she did a bit of an Instagram stalk and found Tyler on Instagram and thought he was cute, so added him. So she said it was very out of character for her to actually do this, as she doesn't often add random guys. Tyler admitted that he hadn't actually heard of Saffron before, and it was only his grandparents that knew of her because she'd appeared on Strictly Dancing. Now, Tyler must have eventually realized that a famous YouTuber had followed him, because he then hit her up in the DMs and they started chatting back and forth and finally went out.
Can you imagine getting a request from someone who's got like a million followers on Instagram? I'd probably think it was some form of joke.
I think it was fake, or I know that there's some influencers who pay to get into people's inboxes with those sort of chain mail. I think that Bill Goldsmith from The Bachelor has been doing that.
Yeah, they're pretty obvious that they're fake emails though. But if you were dating a YouTuber, would you go and watch all of their content?
Definitely.
Yes, I definitely would.
Definitely. Well, their relationship did sound like it started out pretty cute, because they had to have dates online. So they would order takeaways and then talk to each other on FaceTime, which actually sounds like a nightmare of mine, because who wants to be recorded eating takeaways?
Yeah, but for Saffron, I think that's a date format that she would flourish in.
Well, it's a
mukbang.
Because
she's so used to talking to the camera. Yeah, it's a bit of a mukbang, really.
Well, it was really interesting because over Christmas, Tyler actually moved in with the Barkers for a number of months, because he lives 5 hours away from Saffron, and that would have been pretty full on. Going from only talking over the phone, having a couple of dates here and there, to being chucked into that sort of environment with this very out there YouTube family. They all seem to have massive personalities. And also the fact that he didn't actually get to spend Christmas Day with his own family. And in Saffron's podcast, she was saying that she would never, ever want to spend Christmas, not even lunch or dinner, with someone else's family, which was a bit selfish.
I remember hearing that and thinking, gosh, good luck. Like when you actually, even when you have kids, you're actually going to have to spend time with your partner's family at Christmas too.
But I think that's a real young person mentality. You're so used to always having it on your terms at Christmas that you're like, hang on, but when am I going to see mum's side and dad's side? It's not going to work. And then you realize, actually, you've got to make some sacrifices if you really like the person.
And I think for these two, the fact that their relationship did start in lockdown, it seemed like it was almost doomed, because I think people have this theory on lockdown relationships because at the time you don't really have any other options. You can't be going out to nightclubs, meeting other people. All the boys are acting really cute, coming up with date ideas because they've got nothing else to do. And you're sort of in this bubble where your relationship probably feels like it has gone for longer because you're kind of in that mundane part of your relationship. You're not in the honeymoon phase where you're going out doing stuff.
Well, it really accelerates relationships, I feel.
Well, Saffron and Tyler went public on Instagram about their relationship in August 2020. And since then, despite the UK being in a lockdown, they've been on numerous luxury holidays. The most recent trip was a holiday to Greece with the Barker family. So I was actually really surprised, Sophie, when you messaged me at 12:30 last night when you told me that Tyler and Saffron had broken up, because I thought, well, he's just been on this huge family holiday, but maybe that was the catalyst for the breakup.
Oh, they can be. Any sort of family holidays could be a catalyst for a split. So speculation over the couple's relationship when Saffron made it clear that Tyler wouldn't be moving into her multi-million dollar mansion that she's renovating. So as I mentioned, he lives 5 hours away from her, but he did decide to move to London for work. So he's been quite secretive about his job, but Saffron says that he is her Leo from Wolf of Wall Street. So we can assume that he works in the stock market or some sort of banking background. So to him,
he's probably a bank teller. Or
no, no, but he drives this Range Rover because I thought it was hers. I think he must come from money.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, it's really interesting because they seem to have such separate lives. For her at the moment, now that the UK is opening up, she's going on all these holidays and brand trips, but he's in this really important 9-to-5 job, clearly making a lot of bank. And it seems like his priority is in his job. Also, the fact he's got a twin brother. I believe he's living with the twin brother in London at the moment. I just feel like their paths aren't matching up. And these breakup rumors started to get stronger when Saffron jetted off to Dubai on a girls' holiday last month, where she documented hanging out with Love Island contestant Biggs.
Oh, see, because when you said that you guys were surprised that they broke up, I wasn't at all, because I saw these holiday trips as a bit of a sign that, I mean, why would you not want to be holidaying with your boyfriend? Why would you be holidaying with all these girls? And she was really trying to make a big deal that she was out and about dancing, showing off, taking lots of bikini photos. I thought it was quite obvious that there must be something going on. I even had a look to see if they were still following each other couple of weeks ago.
I thought she'd gone on the girls' trip because she'd already been on a trip with Tyler, and I thought, well, he's obviously going to work. He's got to go back to work. But it is really interesting because since Tyler began dating Saffron, he has now become an influencer. He's got over 150,000 followers. So I assume he would have a lot of girls hitting him up in the DMs as well.
Well, we've got to get back to the most juicy part of this, because in the vlogs that she's been sharing of this girl's trip, she's been featuring Biggs, who was on season 6 of Love Island. So he currently has 151,000 followers, and he appears to be trying to grow his own YouTube following. So he also shared a vlog from the Dubai trip entitled "My First Time in Dubai, Lost Phone, Wallet, Saffron Barker."
Ooh.
Now, despite his time on the reality show, he only has 4,800 subscribers on YouTube compared to Saffron's 2.4 million subscribers.
It's funny because I have heard Saffron and Anastasia go on and on about Love Island, so I feel like Biggs would be right up her alley.
I wonder if she met him at that event that they were all at. Well, there seemed to be a crossover of influencers and Love Island stars.
That could be true, because in the vlogs, they showed Biggs taking photos of the girls in front of a water fountain, and it was really cringe stuff because, you know, if you meet a guy for the first time, you're probably, you know, going to act like, oh, I don't care so much about this photo.
But maybe
she really cared. She did not, like, she was fully getting into it.
But maybe that's their pickup technique, because I saw one of her other videos in Dubai with her friends, and they got some other sort of semi-attractive guy to take photos of them in front of the water features too. So maybe that was them.
Was he big?
Sophie, this whole time you've been talking, I thought you were talking about Chugs from this series of Love Island.
No.
What's with these weird names?
We'll have to share a photo on Instagram in case people don't know who Biggs is. But
he was an intruder.
Well, they don't have intruders. He was a Love Island cast member.
The Casa Amor.
Well, he was a bombshell that came very late in.
Well, anyway.
Oh, no, was he Casa Amor?
Yeah. Well, what did you guys think about the other vision that came of them, like, flirting on the yacht and out on the jet skis? It was all a bit awkward because we hadn't been told officially that they'd broken up.
Look, I obviously haven't seen the content because I thought you were talking about Chugs the whole time, but it sounds like she's putting this type of content out maybe to get back at Tyler.
Yeah, but then that's the weird thing. So it was in a Q&A when a follower asked if they were still together, and she replied, "Ty and I aren't together anymore, although there is absolutely no bad blood and we will always be friends." So they're trying to put forth this positive thing that they're still best friends and they're still liking one another's photos.
No one believes that.
That's just a typical influencer breakup though, isn't it? I mean, who knows? Probably in 2 months' time they'll be back together.
No, I want the tell-all YouTube breakup video a la Shani Grimm in 2016 or whenever
she'll
it was.
She'll do it.
If you don't even know what to say, just be like, "That's hot. That's hot. All right, that's hot.
I said that's hot.
That's hot."
Paris Hilton officially tied the knot on Thursday, marrying venture capitalist Carter Ream. The three-day wedding extravaganza was filmed for an upcoming series called Paris in Love, which premiered on Peacock on November 11. Kate, can you tell us what we can expect from the TV doco series?
The series is said to give viewers an in-depth look at the wedding planning, with episodes set to drop weekly. Now, the 13-part series premiered on Thursday, the day of Paris's wedding, with the actual event set to be seen on the finale of the series in 13 weeks' time. So the show is touted at providing fans with direct access to an authentically real side of Paris, which only her closest friends and family have seen so far. And I feel like we got a good glimpse of this in the teaser when Paris dropped her baby voice that she's renowned for and started speaking in her normal voice, which was very strange to hear. So Paris's mum and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Kathy Hilton is set to appear alongside Paris's auntie and housewife Kyle Richards. And Kris Jenner also made an appearance in the teaser. Now from this teaser, you can really see that Kathy is being very overbearing and thinks that it's actually her wedding. She said that she's going to be inviting 75 of her friends to the wedding. And you can see that there's a bit of friction between Paris and her mum. So I feel like that's about to bubble over in the series. I did also think they're really trying to make it very dramatic because they showed a scene where Paris appears to be getting cold feet.
I did love the appearance of Kris Jenner because it just gave me flashbacks to Kim's fairy tale wedding.
Yeah, it really did. Now, Amy, can you tell us a little bit more about what we know about the wedding?
Yeah, so we do know that Paris married Carter on Thursday the 11th of November at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Beverly Hills. They then held a lavish reception at Paris's late grandfather's $75 million Belair estate. The house is now owned by the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt. So I suppose it's quite kind of him to open up the doors for them.
Well, I feel like they will be paying a hefty fee to rent the venue.
We also know that party planner Mindy Wise, who has organized numerous Kardashian events, including their much talked about Christmas Eve parties, planned Paris's wedding. Paris went on the record to say she wanted a classic and beautiful wedding.
I wonder if he had any say in this at all. I feel like the answer is a big fat no.
Yeah.
Well, I think Kathy Hilton in the teaser actually has a go at him and tells him to butt out of it because he doesn't want his input.
I sometimes feel like that. Like, just don't have an opinion, honestly. Just
be
let
supportive.
The bride go. I know that sounds terrible.
No, but you've also got to feign an interest, though. Like, feign an interest and tell the bride that what she's doing is great.
Exactly.
Yeah, give an opinion when asked.
Yeah.
But I think if you're not asked, don't give an opinion.
I feel like Dale's going to be so opinionated if we ever get married. I just feel like, anyway, but just back to Paris. So on the show, we see a glimpse of the Save the Dates and it features Paris's chihuahua. However, it's been reported that her official invitations were delivered in a blue box, which looked a lot like a Tiffany's box.
Can I just ask, what is her new dog called? Because I'm assuming it is not Tinkerbell. I feel like Tinkerbell would be well and truly gone.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure.
Maybe Tinkerbell the third by now.
I just looked it up online and apparently Paris's Pomeranian used to be called Mr. Amazing and he cost $13,000, but he's since been renamed Prince Hilton.
That's almost as much as your dog, Kate.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, that's not too,
God, can you?
That's not too expensive in COVID times.
That'd be
is
nothing
it?
For her though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this dog was probably pre-COVID.
Who knows?
Well, they did say it was the smallest Pomeranian in the world. Or, no, sorry. Well, they did say it was the smallest chihuahua in the world, so I can imagine it would go for a lot more these days.
She's actually got another dog called Peter Pan as well.
That's kind of cute. So, Soph, is it true that Paris did drop a lot of juicy wedding details during her bridal shower?
Yes, she did. So in late October, Paris hosted an Alice in Wonderland-themed bridal shower in her mum's backyard, which was live streamed. So during the live stream, Paris dropped that the wedding would take place over three consecutive days. She also revealed she wanted her friend Britney Spears to perform at her wedding.
See, I was surprised that she would want Britney Spears performing at her wedding. Now, I don't think it has actually happened. We haven't had confirmation. But I feel like it would be such a media circus and such a big story, and it would take all the shine, all the attention away from Paris.
Now, how wild is this? Paris also dropped that she would wear 11 different dresses throughout the festivities in honor of their 11-11 wedding date.
Well, from memory, Kim Kardashian only wore three, and I feel like at the time, wearing three different dresses was outrageous.
Well, I suppose Paris Hilton is almost a billionaire. So, I mean, yeah, and she's waited until she's 40 to get married. Mm. She deserves 11 dresses.
Also, it's a three-day event, so it's probably around, you know, three to four dresses each day. Now, on Friday, Paris shared three photos of herself in the wedding dress she wore to the ceremony. And funnily enough, her husband did not appear in any of the photos. I do have to say that she looked absolutely stunning in the dress. And to be honest, it wasn't really the look I was expecting her to wear. The dress reminded me a lot of Kitty Spencer's wedding dress that she wore earlier in the year. Now, Paris's dress was a custom-made Oscar de la Renta gown, which was described as a thread-worked pressed flower ball gown. And the delicate lace gown was hand-embroidered by eight modists and took 1,400 hours to create. And for those who haven't seen it, the gown had a high neckline and long sleeves. And there was this beautiful flower embroidery that traced around the bodice, sleeves, and neckline of the gown. Now, Paris was extremely happy with the dress, and she told Vogue, "I love how it turned out. I wanted something that was timeless, elegant, chic, and iconic, and I'm so happy." Now, as you mentioned, Soph, there were a lot of outfit changes. To kick off her first dance, Paris wore an off-the-shoulder satin gown with a corset top and a sweetheart neckline. And later in the night, she changed into a crystal-covered custom gown to pose for photos with guests. Now, many fans were speculating if Kim Kardashian would make an appearance as Paris's big day clashed with Kim's good friend Simon Hux's wedding. Now, it sucks to be Simon because Kim did choose to attend Paris's wedding. She was photographed posing with Paris holding her veil. Now, funnily enough, Kim was seated next to Nicole Richie, which was another blast from the past, and both were wearing black dresses, which I found quite amusing as a few weeks ago we discussed we didn't think it was a good idea to wear black to a wedding. It appears, though, that Paris actually requested her guests to wear a darker colour palette, with most of them obliging.
Can you imagine being invited to this event or this wedding? Because, like, what are the expectations? Because I know a lot of people have the wishing wells. What do you get Paris Hilton for a wedding?
Well, there are reports that the wedding gift registry came to a total of $81,000 Australian dollars. So the most expensive item on the list was a vase worth nearly $7,000. Now, their list included everything from high-end tableware to decorative pieces. And I laughed when it said it included Hermes presentation plates for $375 each, because I did get a flashback, as you said earlier, Amy, to that episode of Kim Kardashian's fairy tale wedding when her and Kim were doing the gift registry and they wanted everything Hermes because her new name was going to start with an H.
Talking about the expectation on the guests, it's been reported that they were asked to bring along an all neon ensemble for the wedding day carnival. Imagine the stress of that as well, finding another outfit that's neon.
This neon party looked absolutely insane on Paris's Instagram stories. She opted for a hot pink dress with a veil, and it looks like she rented out an entire theme park for the festivities. She even had a ring toss game set up in a room which had countless photos of her adorning the walls.
So now that the wedding is done and dusted, what can we expect from Paris?
Well, Paris has been very vocal that she is ready to be a mum, and she revealed that she's actually had her eggs harvested and they are ready to be implanted after the wedding. So Paris said, "It's something we've talked about a lot ever since we've been together. First the wedding, then the babies. We've been doing IVF so I can pick twins if I like. I want twins because that way you can get a boy and a girl at once." Now, on this live stream at her bridal shower, Paris said that she would name her daughter London Marilyn Hilton, but hasn't settled on the boy's name.
So does her husband get a say in any of this?
I don't think so.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure that you are subscribed on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating?
And don't forget to join in the conversation in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
And do look out for our thread on our Christmas secret project.